Good morning, and Pastor Heaton with you here in the Bible Baptist Hour. You've had an introduction, but let me just give some more information here in case it didn't get out. 9:45 is Sunday school time. 10 o'clock is morning. I'm sorry, 11 o'clock is morning service. 6 o'clock is the evening service, and our midweek service is on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We have a teen time. Teen time is at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then we have a younger group. I think it's 5 to 12. On Thursday night, and they have a good time and learn a lot of things, actually. I'm surprised when I look at what goes on back there. I say to myself, well, good, I'm glad we got some people who care about what the children learn, and that's important. We'll be closing out the message today called The Importance of the Gospel. It is important. I know some people don't think it's important. Religion is not the gospel, by the way. Say, well, I go to such and such church. Well, good, good. What do you know about the gospel? What does your church promote about the gospel? Not worried about your denomination. No, that's not important. Nobody goes to heaven because they're a Baptist or a Methodist or Episcopalian or a Catholic. Or they go to heaven because Jesus Christ made a way for them to go there. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Well, I don't want to get to preaching, but I just want you to know how important the gospel is. Paul's made it so important. He told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel. We hope that this series of three messages has been helpful to you and that you learned something and you can pack it away and say, yeah, I picked that up when I heard this preacher talking about such and such. Hope it does to you. All right. Tell me the story of Jesus. That's the song for the day. I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Right after the song, as always, we'll be into the message. Right after the message, our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us. Please take the time to do that. We did here a few weeks back. We got a real nice letter from somebody. It was a real blessing. They don't realize, even though we told them it was, they don't realize the blessing it was to open that envelope and see that letter and see somebody had taken the time to actually write it, and we appreciate that. All right, all said and done for me. I'm done. Okay, here we go. The song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Then the message, and then the announcer. Thank you.
Tell of the cross where they nailed. tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Repentance is part of the gospel. Every Christian ought to be aware every day of your life, what's going on in your life, and that which does not please God needs to be repented of. Amen. What happens in the Christian life is you're not ashamed of what you've done. You just compare it on the scale of other Christians as to how bad it is to what somebody else has done. Well, I didn't do as bad as they did it. That's not repentance. That's casting blame. That's trying to find some way to measure yourself against somebody else. And if you're not as bad as they are, certainly you must be a pretty good Christian. No, he said you just need to repent. Amen. Repent. The church was sorry for the inappropriate behavior. But Paul said it was better than that. They repented. And their repentance was a godly repentance. I'm afraid a lot of Christians repent because they got found out. Why is it that we have to wait until somebody else knows what we did before we have to say, well, I'm sorry, Lord, I did it. Don't you know you've done wrong when you've done it? Then just get down and get it straightened out. See, that's just like your kids. They never come. How many of you have ever had a kid come to you and say, Mom, I just thought I'd tell you I lied? If you did, you're the unusual mom. And that's an unusual kid, and capitalize on that. Most of them, you find out about it, and you say to them, did you? Well, I wouldn't have, but what are they doing? Now they're comparing themselves against what Bobby did, so if Bobby hit me, I had a right to slug him. Amen. There's never any, I'm sorry, Mom, that was wrong. I admit that's wrong. I should have come and told you right off. You see, and then you don't practice that any better in your Christian life. You have to wait till you get to church and the preacher makes you feel bad. When you should have repented last week when it happened. 1 Peter 4. You're really going to find this one strange. 1 Peter 4. I'm kind of wondering if there ain't something wrong. The last 2 weeks, y'all been quiet. So maybe there's a secret vote going on I don't know about. Please make it known before winter gets over. 1 Peter 4, look at verse 1. Oh, wait a minute. That's not right. Hang on a minute here. Oh, yeah, it is. I just didn't want to read that much, too much to read. Y'all asleep already. Let me see here. And I got to read that much. Okay. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise in the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh is ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of your life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause, what cause? Given an account. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Isn't that a good one? You should see that one in commentaries. The gospel's so important that it was preached to the dead folks. Kind of like I'm doing this morning. See, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is necessary for salvation in heaven. And those prior to his coming needed to hear it, as every man will face the judgment. Now, it didn't save their souls. It couldn't change their destiny, but they got to hear the message. 2 Thessalonians. I don't want to get into any detail there because it's not necessary. Most commentators want to change all that in the Greek and the Hebrew and the Sanskrit and the Pig Latin. 2 Corinthians 1:8. That's because they can't understand plain fourth grade language. Seeing you can't have somebody preaching to somebody when they didn't go there in the first place. Amen. I mean, if you don't believe Jesus went there, then you can't believe he preached there. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, this is Jesus coming, verses 5, 6, and 7, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obeyed not the what? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, one day God's going to judge this world and make them suffer for refusing to obey the gospel. God is someday going to judge this world on their reaction to the gospel. You got that? How important is the gospel? So important that one of these days God's going to judge a man on his response to the gospel. If he is going to judge the world on their response to the gospel, what do you think he's going to do with you? You know what Peter said? Judgment begins first at the house of God. And he said, if it begins there, how much more in this world? We got Christians. We've got people who call themselves Christians. We've got people who believe the Bible who can't seem to get the order of responsibility right. See what he mean about that? They don't seem to understand what's the most important thing in their life. Listen, they can't even get church right. You see what he mean about that? They don't even know what's more important. Do you know most of us, what's most important to you? Your belly. Your belly is more important to you than anything else.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, Job said, he said that his relationship, that the words of God were more important to him than his necessary food. He said, it's more important for me to hear the word of God. It's more important for me to read the word of God. It's more important for me to get taught the word of God than it is to fill my belly with the things that are necessary. We can't get the simple priorities of life right. How in the world do you think we're going to understand our responsibility with the gospel?
Yeah.
Most of us think that the responsibility of the gospel is just the pastor's responsibility. You're wrong.
Amen.
He gave that to his disciples, not to the local church's preachers.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, look at verse 13. Now he's talking to these Ephesian saints. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. So we first trusted, then you trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. Oh, watch this. The what? See it? Do you see that? Now watch. In whom also after that you believed, ye were what? So you can't get saved without hearing the gospel of your salvation. You can't get saved without the book. Now, just pop over a few verses, as they would say in the jolly old land. Chapter 2, look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were? Well, guess what? I don't hate to say this, but all these little children in here who've never been born again are actually dead. They were born dead. And at one time you were dead. And the gospel got preached to the dead. And the difference between you and those dead over in Peter is that you have a chance to respond to that gospel and get born again. And everybody in this room that's saved and born again, you were a dead person at one time, unresponsive to the gospel, unresponsive to anything spiritual, and the gospel got preached to you, and you trusted after that ye believed the gospel of your salvation. Now think about this a minute. If in this room today, somebody in this room had a disease that just was ruining your body, and you went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to prescribe this natural whatever. And said, we're going to see what happens. And you started taking that, and you got better. Now, you know what you would do? You would tell nobody because you want to keep that to yourself. You don't want anybody else to get better. You want them to suffer. Because you suffered at one time, so you want them to suffer. And so you're not going to tell them until they have suffered a long time. No. You know I'm lying. Why, somebody's going to say to you, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hey, let me tell you. But I'll tell you what, this doctor, you go see this doctor. He helped me. I'm telling you what, I was on death's door. I remember a fellow years ago who used to come in the gas station. I'd say his name, but I don't want to, in case his tape gets out of you, sue me for whatever. And this poor man, he couldn't walk from here to that pew right there. And he'd get in there inside that building and he'd be going, I'd say, Mr. Zomboy, you, yeah. Boy, he said, I'll tell you what, he said, I can't. He said, man, the doctor's got me. He said, my heart's bad. He said, he's got me a nitro. One day a man come in, he didn't even get out of his truck. His nephew was driving him, and he had oxygen, and he was sitting in there, an oxygen tank behind the seat in the truck. And I walked around and said, wow, mister. I said, Mr. So-and-so. I said, oh, he said, man, I'm not doing good at all. He said, I'm on my way to Ann Arbor. Said, we'll see if they can do something for me. Well, back up a step. His mama had been trying to get him to come to Ann Arbor for years, and he'd be going to a local doctor. I don't know how many months, 2 months, 3 months later, I saw him. He hopped out of his truck, come walking in there, sitting in front of me, and I said, wow, what happened to you? He said, the doctor here is killing me. He said, I didn't have a heart problem at all. What I had was low blood sugar. Now, don't you think that the next time he ran into somebody that had oxygen on and they was having a hard time breathing, he said, oh, suffer, man. You suffer like I did. He said, you get down to Ann Arbor right now. Amen. And you see such a doctor. Why? He didn't want them to suffer any more than he did. And he had found the cure. Maybe that wasn't their problem, but I'll tell you what, he wanted to be sure if it was, that they knew where to go and how to take care of it. And don't you know that you have the cure to sin? You have the cure to hell? You have the cure to all that? Amen. And it's your job to tell it. I don't have to say to that person, okay, I'm going to go to Ann Arbor. I can say to them, yeah, sure, you're just lucky. I can say anything just like they say to you. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to church. Oh, I went to church one time and somebody backed into my car. I did that down in Livonia, Tom, preaching a meeting. And I was talking about, you know, relationships. And I said, it'd be just like this brother over here. And I pointed that guy, you know, over here. And that sister right there, why, if he backed into her car. And I just went on preaching. And I saw people laughing. And I thought, well, you know, they probably believe family or something. You know what it was? That week before I got there, he backed into her car. Yeah, you can have it too. How important is the gospel? It's the number one important thing in this world. Even straightening out our economy isn't above the gospel. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you a little secret. If we would declare the gospel and people would believe the gospel, we would straighten out our economy. Amen. Our economy is falling apart because we have left out the most important thing in America, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with the stock market or the newly elected. It has to do with rejecting God and His Word. And that's what drove us to the insanity we're in today. How important is the gospel? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Oh, say, preacher, you just, oh, you know, I know. Good, good. I'm glad of that. When you got there, would you be ashamed of yourself? Or would you be able to look God right in the face and say, I did exactly what you told me to do? How important is the gospel, Father?
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.